Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
If a president or another world leader were to have a child, who would know about it? Everybody, instantly. And it would be celebrated by all of the world. But brethren, here is how God does things. It's not for the fancy of the eyes.
In this edition of Triumphal Feast, we continue exploring the events of the birth of Jesus Christ. Today's message begins in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, with the angel's visit to Joseph.
But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God is with us. Amazing. I think Mary had told Joseph that an angel spoke to her. And so when this angel comes and speaks to him in a dream, that's a pretty strong assurance, pretty strong signal of what he's supposed to do. If the same thing that he was wondering, did that really happen to this woman that I love? And now it's happening. Well, I guess it did. He had to have great confidence then in the decision to not divorce her, to continue on with what he was supposed to do. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. God sends an angel to Joseph directly and explains to him the exact same things that no doubt Mary told him. He said, Joseph, Mary's going to bring a son. And I love my King James Bible in this. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Folks, because of Joseph's faithfulness and patience and love, do you see what he gets to do, what he is blessed with the honor of doing? He gets to name the Savior. Had he divorced her, he wouldn't have gotten to do that. Do you see that? We don't know what blessing God has for us out there. But be patient and wait for that blessing. Even if it takes 6 to 9 months or 90 years. And I can't ignore this. I got to do a little aside sermon on this. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, colon. This is my favorite portion of scripture. Because Jesus' name is defined for us right here. What does that name mean? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's three shalls that come forth right here. She shall bring forth a son. Let me ask you a question. Did Mary have a baby boy or a baby girl? Baby boy. Shall is God saying this is going to happen. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Okay, shalt and shall are the same thing. It's just conjugated differently because the word thou is the subject. Okay, little Middle English description for you there. Did Joseph call him Joseph? Did he call him Harry? No. What did he call him? Jesus. Two of the shalls are true. For he shall save his people from their sins. According to God, the definition of Jesus' name is not Savior possibly. It is Savior definitely. That he shall save his people from their sins. What Jesus came to this earth to do, brethren, he accomplished it. And not one of God's people shall ever perish. That's what his name means. He says, now this was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, you know, I've always wondered, I think honestly we as humans spend a little too much time focusing on the birth of Jesus Christ at some times. Okay? I'm gonna be nice to us and say we spend a little too much time on it. It is a glorious event. We're going to find out that the angels themselves celebrated it, that the shepherds celebrated it, that Mary and Joseph celebrated it, and we're supposed to. But what we need to remember is that the reason that we're given these details of his birth is not so that we set aside a special holiday. We're given these details of his birth to show that it was fulfilling Scripture. We didn't need to really know that Mary and Joseph ended up down in Bethlehem by the time Mary was born, except for the fact it said in Micah that he's going to be from there. And then this scripture in Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let me make sure you understand what the term Emmanuel means. If I get up to go to the grocery store and I ask one of my kids, do you want to go with me? Okay. They're getting in the car and just kind of going along the way with me. Kind of being there. Emmanuel means that a little bit, but so much more. It is not saying that God is going to be there to kind of help us along the way. It is saying that God came down to earth. Not just assisting from heaven, not just giving advice through the Bible, but God came down in the form of man and visited us, and we call his name Emmanuel. Now let me ask you this question. How pregnant was Mary when they got down to Bethlehem? 9 months pregnant, right? Great with child, it says. And I know y'all don't like me doing that, but I'm trying to give you the picture. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that she's about to give birth. And Luke says that she is Joseph's espoused wife. So they're not married yet. So when the angel comes and visits, is Joseph sitting at home in Nazareth? Where are they? They're somewhere between Nazareth and Bethlehem. They're probably on the outskirts of Bethlehem when this happens, folks. He's not at home. They're on the road doing what they're supposed to be doing, and the angel comes and visits him. And in verse 24 of Matthew 1, it says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. When Joseph got his answer, brethren, he got up the next morning and he said, where's Las Vegas? Let's go find us. No. He found the closest rabbi, folks, and they got married that morning. Probably just north of Bethlehem someplace. I'd never seen that way till studying this week when I saw that espoused and wife. Married and engaged. There had to be a sequence there. And then I saw this marvelous thing of the patience of Joseph. God's going to show you what to do. Another key in that is that she remained a virgin until after Jesus was born. The prophecy was that a virgin is going to conceive and a virgin is going to give birth to a child. Okay? God's the only one that can make that happen. And it happened. Matthew makes a point for us to understand that, because if you look over in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus had half brothers and he had sisters. Mary went on to live a normal life as a mom of other children of large families of Jews. Okay? They had names. We don't have the names of his sisters, but we even have the names of his brothers recorded in Matthew chapter 13. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. Back over to Luke now, section 4 of our chronology. Luke chapter 2, verse 5, they were espoused. The angel visits over in the book of Matthew. They get married as soon as he gets up. And now verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. They get to Bethlehem. Mary's ready to be delivered. They go and they look for a hotel. They look for an inn, for a place for her to safely deliver the child, not out in the elements of the world. But Joseph and Mary aren't the only descendants of David. A lot of folks had headed to Bethlehem in order to pay their taxes. And the hotels were full. Not only that, Joseph knocks on the innkeeper's door. The innkeeper comes out. What does he see there? Joseph and a woman ready to give birth. Even before he was born, the world was rejecting him. We find throughout his ministry that the folks will follow him for the magic tricks, they think, and for the free food. But as soon as he started preaching, "Change your life," they rejected him. So much to the point, as you'll recall, we're going to get to it probably about 3 years from now. But Jesus went up to Galilee. He was rejected in Jerusalem. So he went to preach in his home country of Galilee. And his own brothers rejected what he was saying. And he's coming back down through Samaria. His brothers are arguing with him. And the folks in Samaria, whom Jesus had had lots of mercy on, more than any Jew ever had, we find the account that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's going to be crucified, and he's still, there was no room for him in the inn. The world has no place for Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ makes a place for you and for me in his kingdom. They stayed in a barn. Now, when I was a kid, when I saw that he was born in a manger, he wasn't born in a manger. He was born in a barn. Okay, a manger is a feeding trough. Okay, the Latin word for eating is mange. Okay, but let me paint this picture for you, so you make sure you understand. So I make sure you understand what I see happening here. How excited was Mary after the angel spoke to her? "Well, I'm going to have a baby. About 8.5 months from now, I'll figure out what I'm going to do." No. I think she spent 9 months preparing. swaddling clothes. Let me make sure you understand what those are. Those aren't old rags she happened to find in the barn. That was a tradition of the Jews of perfectly clean linens. And the reason that they did it this way is, you all know this, anybody that's ever tried to comfort a newborn baby, what's the best thing that you can do? Bind them up so they feel like they're back in the womb. That's what swaddling clothes did better than a blanket does. You know, blanket, they can eventually wiggle out. Swaddling clothes, it's kind of like putting them in a straitjacket. They're strips of cloth. And I think from day one, when she went down to Elizabeth, she said, let's start making that receiving blanket, as we'd call it. Joseph, being a just man, was patient. Joseph, being a just man, as soon as he found out from the angel what really has happened, marries her immediately. Joseph tries to find a place for them to stay the night, to have the child. There is not one. He finds the best thing he can, this barn, and he cleans it up. Jesus wasn't born in a dirty feeding trough. Bryce, why are you focusing on this? Because I want you to understand that the parents that Jesus had on this earth loved that baby dearly. I don't think she was born and he set it down next to a sheep. I think he cleared out the barn and made it a glorious place. Even though, folks, they were dirt poor. Incidentally, that's probably what the innkeeper saw. Saw that they were poor, and he wasn't going to make any money off of them. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Why would Luke record that this was her firstborn son if she didn't have others? Wouldn't make much sense, would it? God says, my only begotten son, because he only had the one that way. We're adopted sons. But Mary had multiple sons, and Jesus was the firstborn. Swaddling clothes, that wonderful custom, the clean feeding trough. These were good parents. And I left a portion of one verse out in Matthew. Part 5 now of our sequence. And he called his name Jesus. We jump back over to Matthew for that one portion of a verse. They got up, got married. They get to Bethlehem. She has the baby. Joseph calls him Jesus. The birth of Christ certainly is something to be celebrated, and Lord willing, we were actually going to talk about that, because the next verse there in the book of Luke is that there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And man, there was a show for them. A celebration of what had just happened. But other than that, who knew about it? Before that angel comes and visits, and those angels sing to those shepherds in the field, who knows about what just happened in Bethlehem? Mary and Joseph. If a president or another world leader were to have a child, who would know about it? Everybody. Instantly. And it would be celebrated by all of the world. But brethren, here is how God does things. It's not for the fancy of the eyes, even though he's going to give a pretty good show to those shepherds here in a little bit. Born to a poor family that, by what we studied from the genealogies, was a pretty dysfunctional family. They were messed up. and they're getting married and she's already pregnant. I mean, from the worldly perspective, this just looks like a mess that'll never work. Even to the point that they can't even get a place to stay for her to give birth. We have a marvelous account of the birth of our Savior, fulfilling all of those prophecies. I only mentioned two of them. But we also have an account of a lesson that we can follow in the patience of Joseph and the love and the mercy and the trusting God that he has. But I think perhaps the biggest lesson is that if we try to live our lives God's way, it's not going to look like the world. It's not going to fit the pattern of making us look good all of the time. Imagine the folks that grew up with Joseph getting married to a woman that's already pregnant. Joseph didn't care about his reputation. He cared about her and he cared about following the Lord. Brethren, that's a lesson for us. The world is not going to understand the ways of God. And since God's not here for them to mock, they're going to mock us. The ways of the world say you're only successful if you have all of the houses and all of the cars and the boats and the riches. And that you're a preacher and that you've got that famous ministry on television. You're only successful if you've got that 30,000 followers. How many followers did Jesus have? Don't tell me 5,000. He fed 5,000 plus their wives and children. But folks, as soon as he started preaching, they headed back home. 70 to 120. And on the night that he was crucified, how many followers did he have? He had his mama. I think Joseph probably had passed away. And John. Even Peter was denying him. Brethren, sometimes the walk of a Christian is going to be like the walk of Jesus. It's lonely and it's rejected of men. But there was a joy set before him. And that is that he would spend eternity with all those for whom he died. Brethren, there's a joy set before us. And a verse that the Lord's been screaming into my head through all my discouragement this week. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season thou shalt also reap if we faint not. Brethren, we've never been rejected like Christ was. But he died for us. I think that we can live for him. Victorious
God, what can we do? I thank you for your attention today. If you would like to receive short daily devotional readings, as well as email reminders for this podcast, you can sign up for our mail list by visiting the Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page and clicking on the blog sign-up link. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.